Simpsons Index, an online spreadsheet that is also a podcast. This is The Podcast.
Coming to you out of SideQuest Studios, this is The Simpsons Index, episode 254. Hello out there, I'm your host, Elliot J. O'Neill, joined here as always, except when he's on by BT Calloway.
Hi.
And by sometimes, except when he doesn't, Danny Rosewell.
I'm Danny Rosewell.
We review Simpsons.
Yes, indeed we do. Indeed. Yes.
And it's very serious.
So very serious.
Not silly in the slightest.
We're a bit out of practice, but we'll warm back into it.
Yeah, it has been a hot minute, hasn't it?
It's good to be back, Kent. It's good to be back.
Not at all about the military-industrial complex. No, not at all.
Yeah, that was unexpected.
Yes.
Usually I do, my bit of pre-planning and try and, think of an episode which would, be well-catered to the group that's about to review them. Today I was just like, we haven't done any season 35 yet. How about that one?
Let's roll them bones.
And how did that work out for us?
You know what?
Not
this
good,
is
Kent.
This
good.
Is one I have a number of up arrows on.
I laughed out loud.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Yeah.
And what? Yet I'm look, I skip to the end. I'm going to participate in this one. It is
Jesus.
I also
that was quick.
Yeah, look, first of all, my two main all-encompassing notes for this episode are fast and assembly line. So you imagine assembly line going really fast. That's what this episode is. It is every bit is functional. Every bit's fine. It's okay, but it is just
by the books, and it's rushing through it to get the amount of material. I was stunned how long it felt like for the amount of time we had.
Yeah, for real.
But that doesn't make it a good episode. It was just felt a bit cramped and heavy-handed. Like, oh my god, man.
Yeah.
Do you get the metaphor, everybody?
Right? Like, it quickly became clear what they were doing, but every second sentence was them looking at the camera being like, do you get it? Do you see what we're doing? Check it out, guys. And I don't think it was very clever. I don't think it was very clever, and it feels like they felt they were being so cool and clever, you know?
Yeah, like, they had the premise for the joke and the parallel and everything, but they did not have the landing for it. It just became let's descend into chaos.
And yes.
I don't know, you guys talking about the assembly line-ness of it. Yeah, it's like, okay, take hot button issue from a year and a half ago, plus add Simpsons, what's Homer's job in all of this?
How quickly did it feel like the writers ranting at us through the characters, you know? It didn't. It really quickly stopped being about the story at all, and about them just getting it off their chest for a while.
Around about the courtroom scene onwards, I think.
Oh man, who said wokeness? That was really
Homer called someone a wokester. Chief Wiggum, I believe.
Yeah, of course, classic Wiggum.
Yeah. All right, let's get into this thing. This was Season 35, Episode 1, Homer's Crossing. First released in October of 2023. It was directed by Stephen Dean Moore, written by Cesar Mazariegos.
He sure does.
Mazariegos. In this episode, Homer becomes a crossing guard, and then he saves Ralph Wiggum's life, and all of a sudden he gets a bunch more power, and then he starts arguing for more budget against Chief Quimby. Mayor Quimby. And then it becomes a whole big defund the police analog. And it descends into chaos with everybody from different authority figures, from the TSA to the police, in a showdown, very Anchorman style. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, what do we think?
I mean, I feel like I already said that part.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy-handed. I don't feel like they had good ideas to suggest. They were just like, hey, look at this. We can do parallels. I liked the He-Man Defenders dream sequence at the very start.
Oh, yeah. It opens up the episode. It's like, it doesn't have a chalkboard gag. It doesn't have a couch gag, but it has this weird He-Man
weird He-Man thing where Otto is having an acid trip and he's dreaming that he's He-Man. And he slaughters these two goblins and he's like, finally, I have rid the world of trolls. I've exterminated an entire population. And then this last orc comes up and he's like, no longer will your blonde, beautiful reign of terror rule the world of trolls and goblins, bro. You're a monster. And I'm like, hey, he's the baddie. And then he flies away and he gives a rude finger to everyone and the rainbows and sunsets and a giant Pegasus. And actually it was just... Anyway, I was interested in it for half a second, then I was like, no, I'm reading into this more than the writers did. That's a shame.
So at that point, seeing them go, is this a couch gag or are you already in the episode? It could really go either way.
Yeah, so this sets off the chain of events, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the logic. This is what follows.
So Otto goes missing.
Yes.
Otto, yeah, it goes on an acid trip and goes missing.
Yeah.
Therefore, the school don't have anyone to drive the kids to school.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Calls a big meeting in which they resolve that the kids should just start walking to invest more in crossing guards.
Yes. And then Homer becomes the leader of the crossing guards because he was listening to something else and stood up and went, woohoo, when they were asking for volunteers.
Really didn't sound like Homer when he stood up for some reason.
No.
Everyone's voice was Skinner especially sounded really off.
Homer settled into it a bit, but man, that very first line where it was just the back of his head, I was sure that was like going to be a reveal that it wasn't Homer.
Mm-hmm.
No, but all the Harry Shearer voices especially sounded off.
Like maybe he was sick that week. I don't know. But
Burns was pretty crap. Skinner was pretty bad.
Yeah. I think you pointed it out in the episode. Like there was Kent Brockman in there and you're like, that still sounds like Kent.
Oh, man, someone actually sounded like their character. Oh, that was reassuring.
See, that's it. Like, Harry Shearer has aged into Kent Brockman's voice. Weirdly, mm-hmm. he's aged out of being Mr. Burns.
Yeah. Huh.
But, yeah, even, like, Hank Azaria, his Wiggum was really off in parts as well, I thought.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean...
Homer's not great. Marge, I feel like I've got to go easy on Marge, but she hasn't got it no more.
Yeah, nah, we've been making this point for 8 years. It just feels like
it. Man, they just keep making them. It's still just as disappointing. It's not their fault. They've been butchering their vocals for a long time.
Yep.
Stop making them, guys. That's the real thing.
But if you want them to hear the Simpsons cast do characters other than the Simpsons, why not sign up to our Patreon where we've got
We can listen to Starring Springfield where we review movies that star cast of the Simpsons as you've never seen them before.
Organic plugging.
How have I never seen them before? Beach?
In movie roles and as other characters.
Wow. What? Wow. You're... Okay.
More on that later. BT, what stands out to you for better or worse?
I do like when Kent Brockman calls the news the nightly reading of horrors.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of my up arrows.
Because the last pandas have become extinct. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Look, man, this episode blitzes by so fast. I'm kind of just scrolling my notes looking for, like, meaningful things to mention. I dislike that whole CSI kind of cameo, the montage they do, because they sound like,
yeah!
That's about it. Doesn't really do anything. Yep. It just exists.
Yeah, for an episode, again, that came out in October of 2023 and was quoting, like, talking about, like, a 2020 issue? Like,
I mean, to be, I guess you'd argue it's still an issue. Yeah. And look, that's kind of the weird thing about this one. There is an underlying point to it, but everything is so fast. You don't have the moment to breathe and think about what they're saying. And they're also beating you over the head with it very much by then. I mean, it's nice to see The Simpsons, like, go for an issue. And also, despite their kind of leanings more to the right in some years, this one's definitely much more left-leaning because the guy saying, oh, that's a wokey whatever, is Homer, and he's meant to be wrong at that point. But also, just weird. This one rushes so fast, it's hard to really get a grasp on anything.
Yeah. And what was the other joke? SJWs?
Suspected jaywalkers. And I was like, that's not even really a joke, guys.
Can't say they're starting to feel like, because we make the same complaint every time, but man, they're old men. We're shaking fists at clouds, you know?
I don't know the writer Cesar. Maybe he's new blood, but
I know. Well, there's also the weird bit where they refer to Homer's crossing guards as the orange shirts, which for me has a very much, you know, Hitler's SA/SS, brown shirts and black shirts, respectively. Feels like they're suggesting that as well. So, I get what you're doing, but
well, they're suggesting a lot of things, because also later on in the episode, Homer on his laptop has, you know, the thin blue line American flag, except it's a thin orange line.
Yeah, and the Punisher.
And the Punisher, which...
Yeah.
Like, I almost hate that this is comedy now.
look, it's weird. Like, Police of America, I'm assuming you're listening. If you want to emulate any superhero, Captain America. Not the guy who kills people outside the law, but how about the guy who protects the American way? Just a thought.
Or,
Superman's good.
Super Mario. Sorry, I'm just looking at the Amiibos on my shelf.
Stop looking at your shoes.
Well, I noticed that there was a lot of violence and blood in this episode. Way more than I'm actually used to seeing in a Simpsons episode.
Hmm.
The trolls got slashed up in quite a bloody spray of violence.
I mean, that's a fantasy sequence, but
yeah. Yeah, but there was blood everywhere.
But still, it's a not Treehouse episode.
Later on, I saw a guy got shot by a rifle, and then the open wound was on camera for the rest of the scene.
Hmm. Which guy was that? I don't remember that at all.
Guy put his shoulder at the standoff. Guy put a gun over his shoulder and boom, shot the guy next to him.
Oh yeah, the vigilante group. Yeah,
yep, vigilante group. And then later on, holy fucking shit, man! Homer got hit by that bus. Hard.
Yeah, he went all fucking like Peter Griffin-y in the way he landed on that one.
Like, yep. I mean, he fell down that cliff in the skateboard day pretty fucking hard.
Yeah.
But he got hit by this bus.
Legs pointing the ways they should, legs should not point.
And bringing back Otto into the end of the episode. Look, it was very Otto.
Oh, yep. Otto. Yes. Yes. Otto.
What did I say?
Steve.
How embarrassing.
Play the tapes back, gentlemen. Play the tapes.
How was the wackiness?
I didn't write down any notes of whack.
Yeah.
But again, this one comes at you so fast.
Like, if this was back in the 90s, it'd be wackiness about like suspension of disbelief about how quickly a crossing guard can rise to power.
Yeah.
Or be expected to have power over a traffic jam somehow, or et cetera, et cetera. But in this sort of post-Trump society, none of that is suspension of disbelief anymore because America is sick and I don't live there, but I'm scared of it.
Mm.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of what the vibe I'm getting from this one is that it's trying to comment on all that sort of stuff. But like, it's also at the same point, is this actually entertaining? Like, and it's just, it's so ridiculous comedy show. He's just a crossing guard and he's representative of what the police are actually like. But then, like, what is the greater point? It just leads to this big, again, wacky showdown that there's doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I had that notice we went through. It was like, okay, so Homer's crossing guard, and now that he's demanding more budget, and like, so now what? And then it was like, okay, wait, he's in trouble now, so now what?
But now can he run away? Blah, 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 blah. And we're just back on autopilot again.
I guess my one note of whack now that we're in that segment was Quimby's, you know, implied to be part of a chess-themed sex orgy as the king.
Oh, yeah, wackiness.
There's a bishop who like runs and picks a dude up and carries him off. I'm like, that's not how sex or chess works. I don't know what you guys... But that said, I did kind of like the callback of Gil being like, oh, one time I was the timer at a chess-themed orgy. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, man. That sex dungeon was a pretty good shot, though. Like, it was dynamic and it had a slow zoom and it was like sex people everywhere and a chess table. And it was like, oh, it's nice.
Nice. Like a lot of
and
Sims
it was
episode.
Brief.
Yeah, it looks nice. Like,
one
nothing about
done.
This is, like, visually ugly or anything.
I like the suspense music on the Simpsons title card.
Very minor key, yeah.
You really did like this intro, didn't you?
Like, it pulled me in enough when I was they're going to do a whole inverse of power thing, moral gray areas, you know, maybe the trolls were being wiped extinct by this horrible guy who looks like a hero and jumps on his lovely unicorn and sails away because he is the hero and I was just getting way too into it.
You're the Britter in every D&D game.
Yeah. Why doesn't anyone think about the goblins, you guys?
This is their home turf we're just walking into.
Yeah, save the gnolls, Hermione.
Well, yeah, I do agree, though, that it was a pretty cool animation moment as well. I will say this episode does feel like it's littered with animation mistakes, though. Like, I don't know if it's just me being nitpicky, but there's lots of, like, inconsistent character models. And I really hated how both Homer and Marge looked with the sunglasses.
Yeah,
yes.
Weird.
I was not happy with the sunglasses at
like
all.
Like, it pushed their eyes back into their head almost.
Yeah, it didn't... I was trying to think, well, what's a classic Simpsons sunglass? How to... Like, and I feel like their old sunglasses would fit off their head. These ones were,
like down on the
pushing them? Yeah.
Very bug-eyed, very misshapen. In every frame, the two lenses were really different shapes.
All right, I'm glad it's not just me, because
it wasn't cool.
But it takes
hers
you out.
Doubled, maybe tripled in size by the second time I'd seen them. You know, they were this big, and then they were this big, and the last shot, they were just like, whoa!
Excellent on an audio medium.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly. I went fishing, and there was one that was just like this big. It's all how you say this big.
Danny's fingers were
this far
apart. Inch apart
oh, come
then
on!
An inch and a half apart, then a foot and a half.
No, I think you got it across with audio tone.
Danny's fingers were this far apart,
I know.
And then
I was
this
very
far
tempted.
Apart, and then this far apart.
I was
apart.
Very tempted to just double fuck.
When are we going to be here again?
Yep. No double fucking till the next orgy.
How was the heart?
I mean, I'm getting past the term double fuck, so non-existent. I didn't really feel anything about it.
Well, Dad, I hope you learned a lesson. Oh, fuck, Yardley, you didn't get a line this episode. All right, let's write you a... And you can have the, I hope you fucking learned a lesson. Ugh.
Yeah, we were going to give that to Squeaky Voice Teen, but I guess we'll give it to Lisa. Oh, my God. I pronounced that correctly.
He introduced himself as Teen. That's Mr. Teen to you.
Mr. Squeaky, yeah. Whatever, man.
Yeah, I think it was Mo that called him. No. It was one of the lower level crossing guards called him. Yeah, I think you're right. Or, here's your thingy, Mr. Squeaky Voice. And he's like, that's Mr. Teen to you.
Yeah.
Not a bad joke.
Not bad, man.
Himself, yeah. Mr. Teen.
Yeah. At a certain point, they just become their names, which is weird.
Yeah.
Like Mr. Guy.
Yeah.
Bumblebee Guy?
Man. That's Mr. Man.
Ah.
Senor Man.
Then you're Senor Man. Yeah, fair enough.
Like even Bart like burps over like when they're trying to wrap up the lesson.
Yeah.
Just...
Well, she's trying to do big quotes from history, and you know, these are huge themes that tie together the political, socioeconomic structure of our underpinning our moral. Oh my God, I'm bored listening to myself.
Like the fair enough line of "you became an army in search of an enemy." That's fair.
That was good.
It's a heavy weight to lay on a Simpsons episode.
Yeah.
Not even his first army.
Look, honestly, before that, like, I was too busy being distracted by the idea that Marge was horny about all this.
Yeah.
It was like, she's like, oh, it works for some people, especially me.
He has a stable job and he's moving up through the ranks. I guess this is,
it's a deal. I guess.
But surely she'd be used to him having a new job by the next week. And
I mean, look, she did dig it when he joined the Navy and, you know.
He had his own private security army, didn't he?
Maybe Marge just gets horny for, like, dangerous authorities.
I think she does.
When they turned off the lights, they hung on that sex scene
Actually, that was probably my biggest. I do not need to hear Homer having ED problems.
Dude, man, I was sitting there being like, oh my God, they're giving me wet, sloshy, insertion sounds.
I feel like this is the inverse of Camp Crustia, where I heard Homer come and like, I don't want to hear that.
Right.
And I don't want to hear Homer not get it up.
Why are they giving me this shit? Either way.
It's weird. Stop it.
Well, they didn't address it that directly. Marge said, Homer, your lightsaber's not going swish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's what I have winged.
That's what we in writing call a metaphor, and I could read through it as I'm familiar with the term.
Oh, right. I thought they were reenacting Star Wars or something.
I thought they were similes. No, they were metaphors. Your lightsaber's not going vwing. Why?
Yeah, okay, then someone does run in and yell, that's not how you vwing.
Yeah.
Then Groundskeeper Willy just plows Marge.
Your Willy's not going vwing.
This is how you vwing. Oh, God. Oh, God. Wait till the sex orgy.
Also, plows can be a groundskeeping word. But ultimately, did it feel like an episode of The Simpsons? Characters behaving like themselves.
Then he gets behind the... this is how a Willy plows.
This is how your Willy plows. Yep.
Ah, silly. Such a silly Willy.
Look, if anyone out there is looking for roleplay ideas, Groundskeeper Willy in a fresh field.
Snowplow. Snowplow Groundskeeper Willy.
You're welcome. Someone's into that in our audience. Someone is like... Shit, yeah.
Oh, man. If someone's game to try, who knows what rewards they'll reap. Reap.
What they saw. It's not another groundskeeping joke.
Oh, a little Willy.
It's fertile ground, if you know what I mean.
Hey.
Hi-oh, self-fine.
Where were we, sorry?
Characters feeling like themselves. General show integrity.
Yes, but on, like, double speed. Like, this is... fast. Not a single beat has a moment to rest. I mean, on the plus side, that also means there's any joke you don't like is over in a blink of an eye. So,
except the uncomfortably long sex thing.
Yeah, of course, I have to linger on that.
Hey guys, what did you feel about the
very ending when Lisa's all like, "Oh, when you're only tool you have is a hammer. Every problem looks like a nail," and then Homer turns into a hammer, and the family turn into nails.
No, yeah.
Sorry, you were gonna.
No, I mean, but what? What did you guys feel about real Sector 7E, fake Sector 7G?
oh, the intro to the episode. It's one of these things where when Mr. Burns becomes involved in it, it feels like it takes it down a peg, especially because you are spending a moment at least in this opening scene going, that doesn't sound like Mr. Burns. Did they get the character wrong in this scene?
I did get a yes, they did.
I agree that, because there's the whole, there's a nuclear emergency and Lenny's entire console is lining up but Homer's isn't. He's like, oh no, the nuclear inspector works, except the idea that, Mr. Burns would then fire him because he's useless. Like the kind of undercurrent of a lot of Simpsons.
Why was
been...
he kept on? Why was he... Why? Yeah. So many questions.
Because a lot of the idea has been...
I wanted to find out more about that one.
The idea has always been the kind of Burns keeps Homer around because he doesn't complain and therefore he doesn't notice
the massive safety violations.
And he just lets it happen because he's not doing his job. It was an okay idea, but bringing Mr. Burns into it stopped it from making any kind of sense.
Yeah, I like it from the sense if everybody else is covering for Homer and it's like, one, they don't have another safety inspector breathing down their neck, and two, like, their friend who they don't think is employable otherwise.
They just started off covering one or two things and now they literally do his entire job.
No
one really thinks about it. Like, oh, we didn't want to, hassle you or anything. Yeah, I can understand that, but that'd be a more interesting turn for me.
Premise, fine. Execution, stupid.
Yeah.
Kind of the same with the whole crossing guard thing, to be honest.
Well, yes. But, it felt like there was meat there. I wanted to find out more, and I still want to know if he quit that job, or is he still working there, but he has free time because he knows he's obsolete? Or did he quit it out of shame, guilt, anger?
Yeah, he accidentally volunteers in this situation. Yeah. This didn't lead to that thing.
Yep.
And, in a better written episode, it just would.
Yes.
Because he would have been feeling useless at work and then being like, crossing guard, that's a way for me to be useful. Put up his hand.
Volunteer, give back to the community, blah,
8 till 9 a.m. and then go to his job at the nuclear plant and pretend to work? Does he still pretend to work?
The implication is that, he's still doing this in crossing guard hours, which are before work hours.
Around school, right?
Yeah, that's right.
8 to 9, 3 to 4, something like that.
Yeah.
Stupid fucking episode. Yes or no, would you watch this one again?
Not without pause.
Yeah. If we're really drunk and feel critique-y, you know, only to be silly. I would not watch it to enjoy.
Right. Well, I mean, we got plenty more episodes to review which we can critique-y. We'll make some critique-y cocktails.
There's plenty more episodes to enjoy.
Critique-y torch. Mm-hmm. BT, what would you like to change?
I mean, I think we just nailed it. Like, a little bit more organically of getting Homer into the job, that would spare you up some breathing room on this. It's what it needs more than anything. Like, the slow corruption of power into a military state is fine, and it's a good enough kind of plot line. It's just, it happens so fast, and then it has to be so obvious because there's no time for the nuance or pacing on it. Like, just slow the fuck down. Find some space, and you can do it. We've even spitballed some ideas on how you do that. It's just, this one rushes at you so fast. It's hard to tell if I've been tricked into liking some of the jokes, or that I should actually hate this more, but I didn't have time to think about it. Like, it's that, I'm sticking with the participant I've thought about, but like, if we slowed down, maybe I would actually like this one more. Maybe I would hate it more. I don't know. It's so fucking fast.
Danny.
There's something. So, like, I was thinking about, they get to their big showdown, which also seemed weird. I didn't like that they were like, I'm in front of you right now, but I'm not going to punch you. Hey, I'm going to fight you out in the behind the car park. You know what I mean? That part felt weird and strange to me, but I haven't got an answer there. But then they were in the thing and their two armies were standing off being like, oh, I'm the one needed for the town, blah, blah, blah. And then, no, I am. And 30 other armed forces. And it sort of shows how many different armed forces
are. Yeah,
that's
the thing. Because first, the crossing guard and the police are arguing. Then I show up, then TSA, then parking meters, then... was it Night Watchman? I didn't even...
And then the random vigilante militia group from...
And then I do like to have the line of... Homer's like, hey, I saved a child's life. And it's like, oh, we do that all the time. It's the lifeguards. Like, lifeguards, this is a land argument.
Connect the dolphins.
But I mean, it's fair enough to say, there's been so many authorities who are now extend their grasp because people have just accepted it.
Yeah.
Yes, there's this thing
about... there's something to that.
People just accepted it, right? And there's sort of something about how, like, there's all these different factions and how they all seem to have power over the public. But there's some sort of tie-in to how him being a crossing guard, well, how all power is only power because it's presumed to be powerful. Cops are have powers over you because you agree that they do.
Like a social contract thing?
Yeah, social contract thing. They don't actually have magic or anything. Mm. It's all social contract thing. And like, there's this sort of a metaphor to how crossing guards don't actually have control over the cars. Mm. They just presume the car will stop when he says, stop! You know, there's sort of a thing about him not having any actual powers there.
Yeah.
But and then he gets hit by a car at the end. So yeah. So there almost is a big metaphor almost. Tied is what I would change about the episode. I haven't quite got the answer there, but there's pieces there for sort of a tie-in metaphor thing that could have been neater. Or more explicit, but somehow less explicit, because I hate how explicit they are with their fucking heavy-handed metaphors.
Well, that's the thing. That just seems a bit more deeper thought, because, yeah, what we get is, like, them doing a very obvious, this is what the whole defund the police thing is all about, and then introducing all these other agencies at the end in the showdown. Right? If we weren't being explicit before, we also talking about these guys.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Yeah.
And for me, it's part of what really doesn't work about this episode, and when it gets into the CSI parody, how it goes to the nth degree.
Yes.
And what I'd change is keep it small. BT, you're saying slow down. I'm saying small down.
Yeah, man.
I want this to be like a Bart and Homer, like clashing authority focused story.
Yes.
Yeah, not against the police.
Scrap his whole army. Scrap the rest of the armed forces. It'll be like Bart's army, you know?
No, I like
small scale.
Yeah, because it starts off when Chief Wiggum crosses the street, and then everyone else is like, oh, homie, you're not going to let... He didn't ask you to do that. And it's
God.
That's not even what a crossing guard does.
Right.
But the idea that maybe it was Homer and Bart works much better, because Homer's like, wait till I put the sign up and people stop. And Bart's like,
really anti-authority about it.
I know how to cross a street.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I love that
so
much
better
more.
Better episode. Well done, Elliot.
Solved.
You get an
solved.
Emmy.
Oh.
Woo!
Joining the ranks of other such Emmy winners as Bart Simpson. Oh, wait, that was an Oscar.
That was an Oscar. You're not going to EGOT just yet, mate.
What's the one better thing? What's something that like reminds you of this episode, but better than it?
Oh, dang.
Spring Shield or the Sanitation Commissioner episode?
Yeah,
man,
sure.
Bart's Army, now that we've started.
Yeah,
Bart the General.
Yeah. Hell yeah, now that we started rolling that one.
Yeah, Marge when she's a cop. That's,
ooh, yeah, that's great fun.
Yeah.
Well, now that I said it before, I was talking about the metaphor, blah, 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 where crossing guards don't have any real powers. I would love to see him try to use his powers to stop an oncoming car.
Yeah, like, oh my God, there's a truck out of control running down Main Street. He puts up the sign, like, stop, and then nope.
You shall not.
The people with torches heading to Homer as well. It's like,
then he's hit by the bus.
Yeah. But I mean, just to bring it back to when Marge becomes a cop, there is that one scene where Lisa says to Marge, I know your intentions are good, but isn't it a part of a system that just shoves people into prison without any kind of change or progress? And that is one line in one episode that is this entire episode. And this ends with a much better line of, look, Lisa, it's McGruff.
Yeah. And I mean, it hits the nail on the head and it's explicit, but it's not overstating it. It's just like
it doesn't
fucking
take
undercutting
25
that
minutes.
Shit. And it's so neat and pure.
That's
oh,
it.
That's
this
good.
Episode needed the kids more so much.
Yeah. I want the episode that Elliot wants, man. Elliot, write your episode.
Yep.
Well, first, let's finish this podcast, and it's time for final notes.
And I'm here to remind you of the notes you left when you reviewed the show.
Not fair. That was good. Woo, woo, yeah!
I want the song that BT wants.
I'll have what he's having.
Danny, do you have any other parts of this episode you want to mention before we rank this thing?
No, only ones that'll come to me at some point and I'll leap into action like a panther.
All right, BT, let's back at 40 note time then.
So there's a bit where they're having the school meeting about Otto disappearing. He goes, yes, he disappeared with our bus and our brownie pans. And I did kind of like brownie pans.
That's what I'll leap in with. I don't like when they talk about weed so much, man. Well, They're not good at addressing drugs. But they were calling them acid brownies.
Like,
yeah.
And it's like, that's the joke because that's not the thing. But
the
also,
audience is sitting there thinking, no, weed doesn't make you hallucinate, but actually he was on acid the whole time. Man, they're just not good at making
drugs
part of children's cartoon shows. I don't enjoy it.
Homer introduced jean short Wednesdays and no one else in the scene was wearing jean shorts.
Yes. Oh, his shoes made him look like he had cow hooves.
Yeah, and then there's a nice transition to where after that scene ends and Homer is kind of pacing around in his jean shorts,
yes.
It transitions to the bedroom with Marge. I thought that was a great little scene transition.
But this implies that Homer organized for Jean Short Day and Sex Night to take place on the same day. Night.
Are you damn right he did. Wednesdays, my guy.
He spends all day with everyone looking at his, and then he goes home.
Yeah, that drives the takes sexual that energy. Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Riding that wave.
Yeah.
So you see me wearing my jean shorts?
So you see me wearing my jean shorts? Yep, absolutely. No, zero rehearsals.
If she ain't DTF after that, then I don't know.
DTF, oh God, when he's wearing his JS's, yeah.
There is another layer to this episode.
Homer does have the line of, now I got to get up at the butt crack of dawn. I'm like, okay, that was pretty good.
Homer pulls out a Burns Funko Pop and points it out for some reason.
Yeah.
That's a thing. You guys remember what happened with all those E.T. video game cartridges and the video game crash?
Oh, I've seen this somewhat disappointing documentary.
But yeah, they all got buried out in a desert.
Yeah.
You know Funko Pop are doing that now?
Really?
Fuck off.
They're burying like hundreds of thousands of Funkos, melting them down. And just, it's a big disc of plastic that they're burying.
Wow. And then they'll grow sentience and come back to haunt us all. I look forward to that movie.
It's like The Blob, but with Funko Pops.
I'm so unsurprised. I can imagine just deep sea sand dunes full of Funko Pops drifting across the tide seafloor.
You pound the sand like that and a giant Funko Pop worm pumps.
It's June 3. You've just given away the plot.
Definitely.
All right. We almost learn why Lenny is sterile. That was weird.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, never have kids, Lenny. He's like, oh, well.
Well, that's born with.
He just gets cut off. And it's like, don't want to hear about how characters either do or can't come. Please stop.
Yep. Mm. When Homer first becomes a crossing guard, he gets bullied by like all the other kids, including Milhouse and Martin, which is weird.
Violently. Oh my God. When the first person to actually hit him was Nelson.
Yeah.
And not Nelson Muntz, Martin. Martin
Muntz.
The smart one, not the bully one.
Milhouse?
Martin.
What's Martin's last name? Prince, thank you. It was Martin who caught the flying. They were throwing the disc, and he caught it, and whack, like on the blade edge, right on his back. First deadliest strike that I was just stunned from Nelsmart's behavior.
Yeah, the new hot couple.
Nelsmart.
Martin. Nelston. But then it was weird because once Homer saves... Homer saves Ralph. Then all of a sudden, Martin's in his press journalist gear.
That was a weird transition.
Anyway.
Should have just been a different character.
They're inflatable. He keeps them in his pocket. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit where Homer goes, you know, he's recruiting the new crossing guards. Like, look to your left. Look to your right.
Yes.
That's how you know if a car is coming. This ends your training.
Joke of the episode for me. Yeah.
Definitely.
Because, on his first day of, like, getting more money, I think, Homer, Chief Wiggin comes up to Homer and just, oh, thank you once again. And then I hate that that's, like, when immediately the power goes to Homer's head. And, ooh, I figured out how to exploit this. But I did, like, as Wiggin is crossing the road, then Homer, like, Pac-Mans to the other side of it. Like, I thought that was a good bit of animation wackiness.
Yeah, as soon as the camera's not on him, he just teleports the other side. Yeah.
But I do like a Pac-Man logic.
You do. You say it a lot. There's a bit where Wiggum says, what, have you been huffing evidence powder? I'm like, I kind of like that. The implication that he doesn't even know what is in the evidence room, but he knows huffing it is nice.
Yeah, thinking of Wiggum as a bit of an innocent is fun.
Yeah, yeah.
That, yeah, he is part of this horrible and corrupt system, but he's kind of a Ralph about it all.
Yeah.
They very clearly lay out the ingredients to make elephant toothpaste.
They do.
Someone saw an elephant toothpaste video on YouTube this week.
1,000%. 1,000%.
I can't remember what the setup line was, but it's like someone says to Homer, oh, your subtle corruption of power. And he goes, oh, there's nothing subtle about it.
Yeah, I think he was saying it to Lisa.
I don't quite remember, but yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah, that's essentially all my notes.
Yep. Let's see. Okay, again, the bit of the metaphor that works for me is when they're like, Wiggum is talking to Quimby about, I think we need to reduce their budget. And Homer blurts in. He's like, how did you even know we were talking about that? He's like, we got one of our satellites. And Wiggum is like, but we wanted one of those.
I didn't mind the satellite with the high-vis vest on it.
Yeah, that was fine. But it's just, that's the subtle edge of it, to be like, your cops want these things. Wouldn't it be absurd to give it to crossing guards?
Why are we throwing
it to... Then why is it okay to give it to police?
Hmm.
That works, Oh, the bit where they fuck up Homer's chair and throw it through the window and has crossable written on it.
So
like
good.
Touchable from the Untouchables.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it was a reference. The kids will obviously get that Kevin Costner movie. Remember Kevin Costner, kids?
I do, but I'm not a kid.
I know.
I'm sorry. I'm just so sorry.
Sorry, there are just some parts where, because again, a lot of times when we attack Simpsons, people do get back to us and saying, oh, it's comedy for a different generation. Of course it's not for you.
Guys.
Of course you don't get it. Children have not watched The Untouchables.
No. And no. I get it. I just don't like it. I watch a lot of comedy for children.
Watching one right now.
There's a weird, what was it called? The Brunchhausen by proxy restaurant. It was like Brunchhausen, sorry.
Brunchhausen.
Yeah, and then later on there's a throwback joke of the Brunchhausen by proxy that's been poisoning the customers for attention. I was like, I can't decide if this is clever or stupid. Like, I get it, but
maybe in a better episode.
Yeah, that's the thing. Maybe if I was having a better time. And that concludes my notes, surprisingly.
It's time to rank this thing on the Simpsons Index. We rank using our 6-point scale, which starts down the bottom at failure. Maybe if the episode was just meh. Meh.
Sorry, I got a bit of ASMR from your failure there. That was,
yeah,
that was deep.
It's good.
Got them tingles.
I've got asthma too. if they're meh, you give them participant. For the positive ranks, you got okay, bronze, good, silver, excellent, gold, but for the best, cubic zirconia. I'm going to go first. Let me show you how it's done. Yeah, BT called it. And I'm giving it a participant as well. There's not enough to latch onto this episode. It's like a tornado. Like you're trying to find finger holes as you're bollarding a tornado. But at the same time, it didn't hurt too bad, and some redeemable
moments.
Nothing
about this is like broken. It's just really obvious and super fast, and that's again. Maybe I would actually like this more if I was already in a better mood about it or something. But that said, anything I liked, any joke I liked, mostly just got a, oh, that's a good joke, and I wrote it down. Like I didn't go, ha.
I gave this episode the best. I fed you guys nice burgers.
Yep.
I
had
got
a few
nice,
beers, feeling good.
Got my nice new sofa.
Yeah. Yep. What more do you want, Simpsons?
Danny, finish it off, please.
Sorry, I didn't actually say rank participant.
You said it earlier.
Yeah, I know. I was reiterating.
What am I holding up?
One.
A finger. He's giving it the index finger.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I'm giving a participant too, guys. this is not a great episode. It is definitely... You know when you're supposed to write your essay about the question, but you've got this big idea and you're gonna make the question about what you want to talk about somehow.
No matter what. Like how I snuck a Pink Floyd reference into every essay I did from year 11 onwards.
Huh. That's so you, man.
It is.
Yeah, like this was fine for what it is, I guess, but he really had a chip on his shoulder that he had to get off his chest about
crossing guards.
Yeah. It could have been a lot better. It would have been a lot better if Elliot was behind the wheel.
Yeah.
I am in love with your Homer vs. Bart sort of shenanigan story. It makes it so like season two, you know, Wile E. Coyote even, that sort of like slapstick. They could be bouncing off each other. Crossing guard jokes always have like the threat of the oncoming traffic. It's really...
Yep. Oh. It puts a little crosswalk outside of Bart's room.
God, we could have had so much fucking fun with that. But we didn't.
Yeah, and then for the metaphor, like, start spying on Bart just in case he's going to start jaywalking.
Yes,
and
yes!
That's invasion of privacy. And
he can still get hit by a bus at the end. Why not?
Yeah, like, real, like, suspicion angle and, like, even a bit of...
always under the bullet, keeping you safe. Yeah. That's why I need all this money.
Absolutely. Yeah. That would have been so much better. But it wasn't. All we got was this.
Yes.
Participant.
All right, way to start off our journey into season 35 with a unanimous participant. We are giving this
the finger.
Wait, what's a P in like Pima in guitar fingers? Why is thumb Pima?
Pointer, index, middle, annular.
Annular.
Why is X, pointer the
no,
thumb?
No, it's called pulnar or pulnary, something that goes directly to the heart, blah, blah, blah.
Well, instead of giving it the index finger, we're giving it the thumb.
Oh. We're giving
that's a thumb.
Oh, no, it is too, isn't
that's
it?
That's like a thumbs up.
Woo, thumbs up.
Yeah. What's
But it means bad.
Yeah.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs mid.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us for this episode of The Simpsons Index. Danny, what you got going on?
Well, for lunch, I had a really nice sandwich And
you've already answered this question. You shall not answer it again.
Okay, I've just released my 7th album on my dorky and horrible mashups DJ channel that is also banging and awesome. You can find me on TikTok at Danny Macabre, which is M-A-C-A-B-R-E, and say it how you want it to be.
Macabre. Oh,
M-A-C-A-B-R-E.
No, it's D-A-N-N-Y-M-A-C-A-B-R.
Macabre.
E. And it's definitely worth it. I've got almost 170. No, good, I might have 170 videos out now.
Holy shit.
At least.
You're going to overtake this show at a certain point.
Well, not if you guys keep going. That's on you, Simpsons writers. Yeah, check it out. I'm actually pretty proud of most of it, except for some of it.
Yeah.
Remix.audio is sort of the website where you can download all my tracks and the albums.
Yeah, yeah.
But not the videos for whatever reason. So enjoy.
Like,
or
just
don't.
Quietly, I prefer without the videos, because with the videos, it's like 2 gig. And without, it's like a meg.
Don't download them. Just watch them on the thing.
I need to experience your music while driving. That is how I absorb things.
Well, then you shouldn't be watching the videos.
No, I should not. Officer, I'm trying to support my friend.
What's one of the you're proud of later? We'll stick a little preview snippet, a little teaser.
A little tasty treat.
Oh, Give Me a Man After Midnight.
Yeah?
It's my favorite. Still my favorite.
All right.
Years and years later.
All right. And BT, what have we got going on?
Well, they can cross the sidewalk to patreon.com/sidequeststudios, which has the catch-all for everything we are doing here. That includes Thrones of Game, which is complete, so I don't know why I'm referencing it.
Still getting fucking downloads,
I know.
Eh?
I am so,
it's so good.
It is the dumbest thing we've ever made.
It's
I
so
love
high
it so
concept.
We live a weird life, and we're all for it, man. And also, if you become a patron, you can get this. Get this, guys. You can get
you
over
can
160
get
exclusive podcasts.
Oh.
Like, straight away. That is like a month's worth of continuous content. I didn't time it. For like a coffee. That's nothing. Or like, what else do you spend $5 on? I don't know.
A single...
You were so
shit,
confident
what the fuck is that?
At the beginning of that.
I know. The price of one single apple.
What he said.
1 milliliter of petrol.
Thank you. Al Gore. It was Al Gore.
Damn. Yeah. Nice. So you can just support everything we do here if you like it. And if you don't, do it anyway. Spite us.
Yeah. We'll take your money out of
spite. Yeah, I mean, because you can also, as part of a perk of being a patron, you can make us pick a film to watch as part of our other podcast.
Yeah, pay us and then take it out on us.
Yeah, starring Springfield. So basically we are reviewing movies that star anyone from the cast of The Simpsons, a mainstay, preferably.
If you could remove which one would you remove?
That's on the spot.
From
right
history.
Now. From history. Good Lord.
Of movies that we've reviewed?
No, we erased them from time.
Elliot, do you have a list of movies that we've reviewed right there? Or am I?
Yeah, look, recently we had a lot of fun reviewing Rhapsody Street Kids Believe in Santa.
What the fuck?
So we're, bad. So
we're making you watch it one day, Shane.
Yeah, Christmas.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but probably Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's going to be our new Christmas tradition. It is.
Ooh, you've got Spinal Tap on there.
Spicy.
That was excellent. And
yeah, so don't remove Wayne's World 2.
No, and we reviewed Super Mario Brothers, the movie, the original movie, the OG.
For reals.
None of this 2023 shit.
And click. You can make us watch Adam Sandler if you can find a Simpsons cast member.
That's it. As long as they star a Simpsons cast member, we will review it on the podcast.
And of course, Heat, because a great ass.
Nice.
Bonus podcast every single week.
Every single.
Making a bunch of Simpsons focused content, including that podcast we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/SideQuestStudios.
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 Mm-hmm.
And that about does it for the Simpsons Index for this week. Thanks once again, Danny.
You're welcome.
Thanks once again, BT.
What's a line from this I can read?
Thanks once again, Elliot. Oh, wait, no, I don't say that. I say...
I'm Danny Rosewell. Danny Rosewell.
And that's all the mustard in the house.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah, still nothing.
Summary of that episode. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Simpsons Index podcast, which is also an online spreadsheet available at thesimpsonsindex.com. You can also check out our other shows, like Pulp Fury Radio, our scripted fiction podcast, which tells all original stories across a range of pulp genres. And Thrones of Game, where we review Game of Thrones in reverse order. Links to those podcasts and more will be available in the show notes. And now please stay tuned for the bonus scenes. Making any waveform. There we go.
Manamana. Do 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 do. Manamana. Do 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 do. Manamana. Do 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 do.
Banana boat.
Sunscreen protection.
Banana boat. H40+.
H40+.
I don't know, man.
Ugh, like a fine wine.
That's right. Sunscreen for adults.
R-rated. Not for kids.
Squirt it on your chest.
Ooh. So every time you touch the ball, it's just,
Let's get greasy.
I can't get it out of my head now.
Man, those guys really scraped for advertising things once Manscaped and Squarespace rejected them.
Sexy sunscreen. Get yours today.
Comes in two flavors, dick or vag.
You might have to cut out the silence because I'm sort of thinking as I talk.
That's okay. Yeah. I usually do.
I usually do. Yeah, you mother... That's not going to be the final cut.
It might be now. I deleted scenes.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Give me all that, 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 give me